Good morning, everybody. Isn't it good to be cold? No, okay, it's not good to be cold. Welcome, it's great to see everyone in church. I'm Pastor Dave, for those who don't know me. Janelle and I, my wife, have been married for 35 years and a couple of months. Thank you. That's a whole lot of perseverance on my side. So it's a bit of an accomplishment, and I've been reflecting on that because I attained a certain age a couple of weeks ago, 40. She's attained a certain age, it shall not be known, and we're having our 35th wedding anniversary. It's a big year. And I thought, 35 years, I started reflecting on what does that mean. It's like, well, we've been through a lot together. Her more than me, but we've been through a lot together. We know each other pretty well. We know how we think. We know how we connect. We know that stuff. And so I thought, the next stage of our relationship, why should we talk? It's like we've worked it out. Why confuse things by continuing to talk? You know, why don't we just live in the same house and continue on, and we can deal with that. That'd be fine. Yeah? No. We need to keep, yeah. It's actually changed that we talk more now than we used to, because it's a different conversation. We connect differently. We respond to different things differently than we had. Our life has changed. Our relationship has changed. I've been a Christian for almost 45 years, I think. And that's a long time. And does that mean that I just give up talking to God? No. It means that the relationship changes. How I connect with God is different. We mature. I like to say we, including God in the whole maturing thing. I think he's got it. I think he knows what that is. Maybe it's just me. But as I develop and as I grow in God's relationship with God, I need to develop and change how I relate with him, how I talk with him. The important thing is that I continue to talk with him. I continue to connect with God. My relationship with God is pivotal to who I am, to who we are. Prayer is key. And yet, as I was talking about Janelle, I think sometimes we kind of don't pray as much as we could, should. We don't pray as much as we would like to. We kind of walk away and we go, I know this Christian stuff, I've been doing it for a while. I know this God stuff, we've been doing it for ages. And we walk away from that. But the call on us is not to talk less to God, but to talk more to God and to enable our relationship to change as we've been walking with God for a long time. Because we look through our community, we look through our society, and I'm just going to suggest that our society is not as reflective of God as I would like, or as it has been in the past. Our society has been turning away from God, walking away, running away from God. And for many, many years, our church has been silent. Our church has complained, our church has gone, I don't like. But we haven't actually stepped up to the plate of saying, how do we as a church confront, address, love, care for our changing society, for the people who are not in our church as they used to be. Prayer is pivotal to me, to us. Prayer is pivotal to us as a church, because changing our society does not come through me fighting, through my words alone. Changing our community comes through sitting with God and seeing God do God things amongst us. If we're not sitting with God in prayer, then we cannot expect our community to change towards him. The responsibility of change in our community falls on our shoulders as Christians. And if we're happy just to sit back and let it go, then where are we going to end up? The challenge is on us to press into God, to sit with God, to work with God. The challenge on us is not to become lazy or laxical, is to be able to be more assertive and more connected to God in prayer so that we can see our community change and to come more like him. when Jesus was with the disciples, remember the disciples had a history of religiousness, a history of the Jewish religion and being a part of that. They knew what prayer was. They knew what the scriptures were. They were connected into the religion. And so one day the disciples came up to Jesus in Luke 11:1 and said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." They knew how to pray, but they saw there was something different in Jesus, and they wanted to be able to know what Jesus was teaching them about prayer. And so his response in Matthew, because I'll just flip through books as you do, his response in Matthew, I think, is pivotal to how we understand what prayer is. And in Matthew 6, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I don't think Jesus said this is something that you should memorize and rote learn. I don't think it's something that we should necessarily repeat as is. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I think Jesus was giving more of a layout of this is what prayer is. And prayer starts off with our Father in heaven. It acknowledges that our God is God. He is eternal. He is outside of this world, but still in this world. He doesn't live by the rules we live by, but God is God, our Father in heaven. It pictures this father figure, this person who cares for us, this God who loves us, who cares for us, who puts value on us. So as we pray, we're reminded that our God is our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Name in the in the Bible talks a lot about character. It talks about who God is as a person. So his name, Father or Yahweh, is talking about who God is. Remember Moses said, "What can I call you?" He said in Hebrew, Yahweh, which is, "I am who I am. I can't be described. I am who I am." And this, when we talk with the holiness of what that is, as we pray, remember that our God is in heaven. He is eternal. He is outside our world, but he's holy. He is beyond us. He is beyond what we understand as good. He is so good. He is beyond us. The next part is our kingdom, your kingdom come. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is coming. I think that there's a part of it Jesus was saying it's coming because I'm here. I know what's about to happen, but it's still coming. We pray to God knowing what God plans for us is yet to come. It started, but we haven't realized the fullness of it. Your will be done. God, what you are doing in heaven, your will be done here. As it is in heaven, do your will here. And then it takes a bit of a shift. Give us today our daily bread. A shift in that all of that first part is about God. It's not about me. When we pray, it's not like we often go of, "Oh, Jesus, I've had a bad day. Oh, there's all this stuff. Oh, you don't know how hard it is to be me. Oh, God, you know." Isn't that how we pray a lot? And when Jesus tells us to pray, what do we do first? Our Father, God, your holiness, who you are, the eternalness of God, God. And once I've worked out God, you come here, you do your stuff, you be you, you do... And then what? Give me today my daily bread. Notice that doesn't say, give me today my daily croissant. It doesn't say, give me today my daily honey and jam. It's about what do I need. It's not about all the fame. We don't go to God and say, "Dear God, today's the day I get my Porsche." But God, give me things I need today. I can list them. Chances are I'll be wrong. God, what do I need? What do I need to be more of you? What do I need to be more of the person that you want me to be? God, how do I become what you've called me to be, what you've promised me, what you're leading me to be? Give me today my daily bread. And forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Father, I've let you down. I'm broken. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm here to represent you and I don't get there. Father, forgive me for what I've done and help me to forgive those around us. And to extend that, lead us not into temptation. There's temptation everywhere. There's temptation inside my head. There's temptation around me. There's temptation everywhere. Jesus, you know, you walked here. You get it. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God's showing us a principle of prayer, a way of praying. Firstly, it's about God. Who is God? What's God done? And then where am I within that? It's amazing when we go that perspective of change of prayer, how our prayers change. Instead of going, God, look at me, this is what I want. God, if you're really God, then you should do what I tell you to do. It's saying, God, you are God, and I want to be like you. I want to become more like you. Teach me to become more like you. Our prayers are so often self-focused. And I love the last part, I'm aware of the last part of that, where it says deliver us from evil. Because so often we don't think that. But we need to be aware that there is evil, that we live in a realm of things we can't see, a spiritual world that is around us. I'm going to flip to Ephesians 6. And verse 12 it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of his dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And down verse 18, and pray in the spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, that I fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. When I got two daughters. Jazzy's my younger one, and Jazzy loved to wrestle. And Jazzy was, like, in respect, she was a nugget. She was a solid young lady. Well, she loved to wrestle, and she had no rules. And wrestling ended when someone was in tears, me, usually. It was just constant. It didn't end. And usually it was her favourite wrestling move was a knee drop. Now, she believed in knee drops from a distance. It'd be climb onto the lounge. I remember her getting her uncle once. I'll always remember. Anyway, she loved to wrestle. She loved to do her knee drops. And she loved to not end until she realised she'd broken me. How often do we wrestle with God? How often are our prayers wrestling? So often our prayers are once off. It's like we'll throw a prayer up, that'll see how we do. How often is it a wrestle? Do we continue to persevere, to press on? God's calling us to wrestle, to chase after. Because what we see around us is not the whole picture. That we walk in a place where there is a spiritual realm. The Bible, what we read, it talks about it's not flesh and blood. Our enemy is in the spiritual realm. So what does that mean? So it means our wrestle is not against a person who has an opposing view to us. It means our wrestle is not against a political party that's on the opposite side of the fence, whatever side of the fence you're actually on. Our wrestle is not against that friend on Facebook that's always putting up that annoying post that you disagree with so strongly. Our wrestle is not against the atheist at work who is against everything that you are. Our wrestle is not against the media that we perceived as a biased view of our faith. Our wrestle is not against people. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. It's in the spiritual realm. And if we're focused on that person and that comment and this, then we actually miss the perspective of what's going on. If we get into a verbal fight with someone, we're missing the point. Now, should we disagree? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But our real fight is in the spiritual. Our real fight is in the spiritual world. It's not against flesh and blood. It's about the rulers that are in this place. We need to make a difference and we need to pursue that. We also need to be aware that we do have an enemy. We have someone that hates us. Hates us not because I'm so good looking and such a threat, but he hates us because he hates my dad and he hates your dad. And the best way of getting your dad is to hit your kids, yeah? The best way of getting at God the Father is to get at his kids. He wants to destroy us, he wants to hurt us. And we have this picture of what that means, but really, what is the worst thing that can happen to us? Revelation 3 says that I would wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm and I spit you out of my mouth. Kind of like that. It's an image I can get. But lukewarm is the enemy to God. Lukewarm is the enemy of the church. Satan doesn't want us broken and in a hole. He wants us to not care. He wants us to be passive. He wants us to be asleep. God's calling us to have a passion, to step out, to wrestle, to make a difference. And Satan knows all he's got to do is to make us lukewarm, to calm us down, to put us in a place where we don't care. And that's his goal. He doesn't have this desire to break us. He has a desire just to stop us, to quieten us down. And I've got to be honest, I kind of like being a bit lazy. I do like being comfortable. I do like being non-confrontative. And yet they're the things that are going to stop me from chasing after what God wants of me. We need to be standing up and taking on the challenges that are before us. We read out of Daniel before, and I want to just pull out a couple of the passages within that. And the first one is from verse 12. And then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, and then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for your vision concerns time yet to come." I love this picture of saying Daniel's praying and he's been praying for 3 weeks. Now I have the memory span, the attention span of a 2-year-old. You know, it's like, oh, it's been 2 days. I'm picturing that Daniel after about a week is like, yeah, no, I'm still going. After 2 weeks, maybe God's not hearing me. After 3 weeks, where is God? And this angel comes down and says, "Daniel, the first time you prayed, we answered, we responded. And up here in this spiritual realm, we've been battling and battling, and it's been hard work, and I've been on my own chasing after the forces of evil. And then Michael came along, we started to kick some, you know?" Daniel's in that place of going, does God even care? And this angel comes down and says, "Mate, I got your back. Wrestle, chase after, don't give up, persevere." Because God, what I believe they're saying is, God is already answering the prayers that we have. We just haven't seen the answer yet. Press in, continue, chase after God as he brings about his will in this place. Remember, God, your kingdom come, your will on earth as it is in heaven. We're a part of that journey. We're a part of that space. We need to remember that God is with us. God is walking with us. Or I should say, God is encouraging us to walk with him. But then he goes on to verse 20 and he says, "Do you know why I've come to you? Soon I'll return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I do, the Prince of Greece will come. But first I'll tell you what is written in the Book of Truth. No one supports me against him except Michael, your prince." I'm not going to say I totally understand all of this. But I do get that there is a promise being held in front of us. There is a place that God is working for, working toward, and we have a part to play in that. And something we need to remember is that God, or heaven, hears and responds to our prayer. That's so important. Prayer is so important. God hears it and heaven responds to it. Prayer is a powerful weapon to fight for the reign of God in our region. That will never, ever change. How often are we standing up there fighting for our area, fighting for our region, fighting for the people around us, fighting for our family, fighting for our friends, fighting for our community? We are called to pray. We are called to enter into this place of change within the spiritual realms, which affects everything that we do, see, and hear. We need to realize that prayer is a powerful weapon. And secondly, Jesus teaches us that prayer is personal surrender to the will of God. We can't use prayer to get my stuff. I totally believe that God talks about walking in faith. Faith is hearing the word of God and be certain of what he's promised. God is promising things, and walking in faith is saying, God, this is what you promised. We're walking into that. We're agreeing with you. We're waiting to see you deliver on what you've promised. God's calling us to walk into that place where he is promising. That's not the same as saying, God, this is what I want. I expect it tomorrow. Prayer is not about telling God what he should be doing. It's not about telling God what I would like and how he should deliver it. Contrary to popular belief, God is not like Santa Claus. God is God. God loves us. God knows what's best for us. I don't know what's best for me. Because again, I'm chasing after laziness, comfort, recreation, ease. I want a life that's pleasant. But God wants more than that. God wants me to become who he has planned me to be, who he's designed me to be. And that comes through work and challenge and discipline. And God's calling me to step up to confront the ease of life that I would like, that my body says wins, to be able to chase after what he wants for me, what he wants for us as a church. God's challenging us to step up, to surrender to the will of God, and to say, God, you're first. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom, your will, you, God. How can I walk with you in this? In Mark 14, Jesus shows us what prayer truly can be. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus showed us what prayer is. Jesus showed us what it is to be a child of God. He showed us how we are to live. Jesus was looking at what was ahead, and he was saying, I get it, but this is really hard. God, is there another way? Father, is there another way? But if there's not another way, I'm willing to do what you've called me to do. I would hope that that's our prayer. I would hope that we're able to say, God, I know what's coming, and it's hard, and it's uncomfortable, and it takes sacrifice. But whatever you're calling me, I want that. I want the best. I want what you want. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done. I want to confront what's around me. I want to confront what's in me and to be able to take on the challenge that's in front of us. I have this picture of Jesus saying, take this cup from me, and realizing how bad that cup must be. I've had some bad cups in my life. I remember being in Indonesia, and we used to have breakfast every morning. We have coffee because, you know, Everyone needs coffee in the morning. It's okay to disagree, you can be wrong. But the way they made coffee in Indonesia is they had the coffee beans, they ground them up, they put them in the cup, they put the water in and they stirred it and just let it brew. And it got strong and it got stronger. And then they put in some condensed milk and hot water more and filled it up. It was the most delightful, wonderful experience. It was like a quadruple shot in an instant. It was like, I'm happy now. I used to have a few cups because they'd bring coffee to everyone and everyone else would see it differently and their eyes would roll back and go, I'm not touching that poison. For them, that cup of coffee was a bad cup. I think possibly they saw me drinking it was a bad cup because I was in a much different mood. But that was a bad cup for many people, but it was a good cup for me. But there was another cup I remember. And I remember a cup in Thailand that were going around and were working in slums. And I remember going in this slum and this person said to me, I've got a cup of water for you. And I looked at this cup, or this glass of water, and it was yellow water. And there were little things crawling in there. And I knew that for me, that was a bad cup. I knew where that cup led. It was a little room with a hole in the floor. And I know that that cup gave me the energy upwards and the energy downwards. It was a bad, bad cup. And everything in me knew to avoid it. But what was God calling me to? Jesus had this cup of suffering. And he's looking at this cup going, I'm about to be crucified. I'm about to be rejected. I'm about to be rejected by Peter, my closest bud. I'm about to be rejected by all the disciples as they slink away and go, we don't know this Jesus. I'm about to be rejected and betrayed by Judas. One of my 12, one of my closest is going to dob me in and give me up. I'm about to take on the sin of the world. I'm about to take on the punishment for everything that I have never done. And he sits before God and says, Father, if you can take this cup from me, but not your will, not my will, but your will be done. He looks at this cup and goes, I'm willing to take this for all of those that I love. What's the sacrifice that's before us? We live in an easy place to be a Christian. We don't get hunted down. We don't get really persecuted. We don't get excommunicated. We are free to chase after God. We are free to put God before all other things. And we might get abused and we might get put down and all that. But really in the big picture, it's easy to be a Christian. And the sad thing is, because it's easy to be a Christian, we allow ourselves to become really comfortable in that. We can just cruise through life. We can just do what we need to do. We can just rock up on a Sunday. We can read our Bible every day or two or three or four or five. We can pray when we need something. But is that the cup that God's put before us? Because if the one we want to reflect, Jesus, if we want to become more like him, and he took this cup of crucifixion for me, and this is okay to sit back and say, I'd rather have creaming soda or ginger beer. Is it right for us to sit back and go, yeah, no, that's a bit hard. I just want to be really comfortable. God's calling us to take on the challenge, the sacrifice of standing up for him in a world that's broken. To stand up for what is good and what is right. To see God's kingdom come to this place, to this community, to this state, to this country. Luke 22:43, and an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus knew what was ahead and he walked into it. Jesus persevered. Prayer is a powerful weapon to fight for the reign of God in our region. Prayer is also a protection for the enemy of God. In Mark 14, it says, Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't know about you, I can identify with that. The disciples have had a hard day. They've had a hard 3 years. They've lived on the street, they've walked around, they've been confronted, oppressed, they've been persecuted by the religious leaders, by the government, by their friends, they've walked away from their families, they've got no support networks, they've connected with God, they've come into Jerusalem, it's hot, it's hard, they're tired. After midnight, Jesus is saying, watch and pray, and they nod off. I get that. But Jesus says to Peter, wake up. And Jesus is saying to us, wake up. Now, you probably know I'm not a morning person. Waking up in the morning is not my favourite thing to do. When I was an apprentice, I used to start work at 7, and this is let's face it, I'm older than the mobile phone. If I was to have a mobile phone, this is probably what it would look like. Snooze, 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 snooze. My snooze alarm when I was a kid was Mum in the kitchen bashing on the door saying, David, you're meant to leave 5 minutes ago, get out of bed. Do we need Jesus to be saying to us, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up? I believe that Jesus has been saying to our church for many, many years, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. If we look in the church over the last 40 years, church attendance has gone down and down and down. Now, is numbers important? I don't do numbers really. However, the numbers indicate that our kids and our grandkids are not here with us. The numbers indicate that our society is not a part of the family of God. Numbers indicate that the influence that Christianity, that God has in our society, is far less than what it was. Our society is changing. The church, we need to wake up. The increase in family breakdown is horrendous. What we see in our world and our families is terrible. The numbers of kids that are growing up with their second, third, fourth dad, if they have one, and what they are is horrendous. What we're seeing in our society is a reflection of what's happening in our families and in our church. And then if we're looking at abortion, if we're looking at sexual immorality, drug use, youth crime, we're looking at issues in our society that the church has spoken up a little about, but how much have we really spoken up? How much have we prayed? How much have we sat before God and said, God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. God, in families, your will be done. God, in our society, your will be done. In our schools, your will be done. How much are we crying out to God to say, God, how do we bring about a change for you to transform our community into a place that's reflective of who you are? If we're not willing to wrestle in prayer, then we're not even starting the fight. We're called to make a difference and to walk with God in that difference. We're challenged to step out of our comfort and to take on the challenges that God has laid in front of us. Prayer is a powerful weapon to fight in the rain for God in our region. Prayer is a powerful surrender to the will of God. Prayer is our protection against the enemy of God. So Jesus asked the question, would you just pray for me for 1 hour? Doesn't seem like much. What's God asking us to pray for? Ephesians 6 said, our struggle is not about flesh and blood, about the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for the heavenly realms? Who runs? Who has the authority in the heavenly realms? Well, let's look at Colossians 2. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. He forgave us our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. We're not without hope. We're not on the losing team. We are not overrun. We are not defeated. The kingdom of God is coming. The will of God is coming. We're not there yet. But God is bringing His will, His place, His kingdom to this world. And one day, we'll walk into that place where this is reflective of God, where our community is God's kingdom. We will sit with God. We will see the Father on the throne, and we will walk in the holiness of who we are meant to be as humanity, as people, as followers of Jesus. Are you willing to wrestle with God? Are you willing to wrestle in the spiritual realm? Are you willing to persevere to see God's kingdom come here? This next week is a week of prayer, and I want to challenge you to take that up, to take up that toll where you normally pray for 1 minute, to throw it to 20 minutes. Where you normally pray lesser, do it morer. And I know it's not a word, but what's the challenge on you? What's God challenge you to chase after this week? We have a part to play. And if we're not doing what God's calling us to do, then how do we expect to see a difference? We're going to move into a time of communion. As a part of this church, everyone's welcome to be a part of communion. So we'll talk more about that in a moment if you're new. But I just want to give us a couple of minutes. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to let us sit in silence for a couple of minutes and ask God what He's challenging us in. What's God challenging us to become? What God's challenging us to wrestle, to make decisions about? So let's pray, and then after the prayer, there'll just be a couple of minutes of quiet. Father, thank You that You have come before us. Thank You, Jesus, that You have come, You have experienced life on this earth. You have seen the best of us, You've experienced the worst of us. You stood up for our best things, and yet You also accepted the rejection, the betrayal, and the hurt that came with that broken trust. And yet You still died on the cross for us to give us hope and to give us life and to give us a future. Father, whatever we see and whatever we know that You are our God. That we have hope, we have life, we have forgiveness, we have healing, we have wholeness because of who You are. Nothing because of what I've done, but all because of what You've done. You've gone before us. You know who we are. You know our brokenness, You know our weaknesses, but You also know who we can be. And You see us through the eyes of love. You see us through the eyes of forgiveness. And Father, help us to become more like You, to reflect You more fully. Father, help us to become Jesus in the community that we're a part of. And Father, I ask that You open our ears to be able to hear from You in this time. Just be able to hear the challenge that You're laying before us. Help us to know what's before us, and Father, help us to be able to take on that challenge and to take on what You've laid out for us.